Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
So where I'd like to start is stuff. Is anyone here, you just feel like you just got too much stuff? Anyone? You just raise your hand, right? I hit these places of like, where did I get all this stuff? Like, I'll be coming home from work and I get my mail and I get a ton of mail that means nothing, all right? I get probably like 7 million coupons to Arby's, all right? Like, who uses that many coupons to Arby's? And I get all this junk mail. I get all these things that I'll never, ever open up. And I'm thinking, who's sending me all this stuff? There's someone, it must be working because I keep getting it. And I pull in my garage and I look around. I'm like, who? I don't even know what half this stuff is for. I don't know. We have like 15 hockey sticks. No one in our family plays hockey, right? We just sitting there, and I look at it. We have a punching bag. We have a punching bag hanging in the garage. I don't even know how we got that, right? No one's boxing in my family that I'm aware of. Maybe Nikki's going out there doing some roundhouse kicks, but so then I go from like all that stuff, and then I won't even talk about all the stuff in my van, and we walk into my house, and I look around, I'm like hanging up my jacket, and we have 30,000 jackets, probably, right? Because they're just everywhere. I don't know if people wear them, and they're socks that don't belong where socks are. And my pet peeve, I think I've shared this on stage, and I'm going to keep at it until it's gone. If I'm around my house, my kids are like, hey, I need a battery, and they open up this one drawer. It's right here. They open up, and I'm like within 30 feet of it. My heart just like explodes. Like, what is in this junk drawer? We have a junk drawer. We know it's called a junk drawer because we all say it. So, oh, it's in the junk drawer. Like, well, why do we need this junk, right? Do these batteries even work? I don't know. Well, let's throw them away. Well, what if they do work? Well, how do we know? So we got to keep it, right? And then you go into like my dresser and I open it up and I think someone broke into my house just to get rid of their stuff and put it in my dresser, right? Because I don't know. I don't know what this shirt is. Oh, man. So we just have so much stuff. And it's like we can go through life and just accruing stuff. We don't even know why we get it. We just somehow get it. And you can't throw it away because you feel bad about the stuff and you have to keep the stuff, right? And maybe you feel that way, and maybe you feel that way like in your job. It's like you've ever been at work and all of a sudden you look at the clock and it's 4 p.m. and you're like, oh, what did I do today? And you're like, oh, I doodled on this piece of paper pretty good, right? And you just kind of like float through it. Or maybe you feel that way about parenting. You just kind of like, you just hope till they go to bed and you just kind of float through and do more stuff. Maybe you feel that way in relationships. Maybe you feel that way with your health. You see, this is why purpose matters. Because if you don't know what your purpose is, then you can't actually execute of what you're going to do on purpose that lead you to where you want to get to on purpose. It's why we are starting out 2018 talking about what is our purpose. We believe our purpose is to be to love God and to love people. And that is who God made us to be the absolute best lovers, radically, radical lovers. But if you don't know that, you're just going to go through life. And what's your purpose? Well, whatever's right in front of me is what I'm going to do. And are you going to give your best to it? Maybe, maybe not. I'm going to get more stuff, right? So think about it this way. What really brings you satisfaction? Like, what brings you fulfillment? What brings you just like you feel complete? For me, because I wrote this early and I actually was thinking about, like, I paused and what brings me fulfillment? And my first things that I went to was golf. Oh, man, anyone else miss golf? Anyone else with me? No? Okay. So I think of golf. I think of, like, a great meal. I think of vacation. It's like, oh, man, that'd be so great. Some of my friends just went to Florida, right? And I rolled my eyes at them, of course, because that's what you do if you're a good Minnesotan. We went to the sun. We're like, oh, we're happy for you. So, when I thought about, like, vacation, a great meal, or golf, sometimes you can just float through those. You can float through a vacation, and at the end of it, you're like, what did we do? I just feel more tired. I feel like we were just busy. I feel like we just kind of like, ugh. And I'm a big fan of sometimes you just need to disconnect. But you can do that so many times where you just feel like, I just got more stuff. Like, what really brings you satisfaction? If you think back, I don't know, in the past month, what's been a moment that was life-giving? What was a moment that you felt like that was worth it? For me, I went to bed on Wednesday at 8 p.m. And I say 8 p.m. because I don't want to tell you that it was really 7:50 because I feel even worse, all right? And I'm like, I have a FOMO, fear of missing out syndrome, right? Like, if I go to bed too early, I'm like, what if I miss something great on TV, right? It's like, what if someone calls me and says, we got to go out, it's 9:30, it's going to be the best thing of the year. I'm like, but I was in bed and I missed it, right? So I felt really guilty. I went to bed because I was exhausted, I was sick. And I woke up at 7 in the morning. I slept a long time, right? And I didn't regret, I felt satisfied because I did something on purpose. Nikki and I went to Jay Cook and we sat in front of the fire and read books and talked. I felt so satisfying. We did something on purpose. My kids, they wanted to play wrestling, which wrestling really means I just like stand on the edge of the bed and they run at me as hard as they can to try knocking me off. And they're big enough now where I don't have to pretend to get knocked off. I fly back into the wall. And so those are satisfying. Why? Because I don't have to think really hard about what the purpose is. Purpose is that they love me and they want to spend time with me. The purpose is my wife just wants to be near me. The purpose is that my health matters. Like if you think about people who live satisfying lives, like just think about your circle of friends. Think about they're all at this table. If you looked around and you asked them, are you like deeply satisfied? I hope that they'd say yes. I got a feeling a lot of us would go, well, yeah. Are you satisfied? Right? That you might even hesitate at saying a firm yes. I can think of several people who, without a doubt, say, yes, I am living an absolutely deeply satisfying life. How do we get that? How do we do that? Because you might think, oh, we just have to have more pleasure. We just need to have more free time. We have to work less or make more money or buy better clothes or whatever, make my kids laugh at my jokes more, whatever it might be. I found out it's not always the first thing I think of. It's not. And throughout the Bible, there is this song of faithfulness. There is this song of that you can have meaning. There's a song of purpose. There is a song of satisfaction. But it comes in a way that we don't always like. Doesn't. Can you throw those verses up there for me? These are things, just three of them, one in the Old Testament, two of Jesus, that talks about how you can find a good and beautiful life. And it has everything to do with laws and our favorite word, commands and obey. Right? Anyone else? You hear the word obey and you're like, wow, thanks. I appreciate that. I hear the word obey and I just feel like, don't tell me what to do, right? I'm a grown man, all right? I have a minivan. I've accomplished stuff, all right? Come on, man. I don't like being told what to do. But we see throughout the biblical narrative, the way into a fulfilled life is through these commands. And a lot of us, especially if you're newer to spirituality, you may think, like, that's ridiculous. I don't want religion. Yeah, either do I. I would even say God doesn't want that either. But it still doesn't take away that there's things that God does on purpose. Like, what if God's up to something? What if he knows a little bit more than me? I know it's hard to believe. But what if God knows a little bit more than you? Because we're on this journey, and it is a beautiful, complex, hard, but satisfying journey. But the way in is learning, what can you give your best to? You see, Jesus says that he gets approached. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. It's like our purpose. And he says, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. And we talked about that 2 weeks ago, about that's what you love. And what you put at the center of your life is what you're going to worship. That matters. And he goes, love the Lord your God with all your mind. And last week we talked about how we can like have critical thinking and we can doubt and we can question. It's not bad. We can remember and look back and reflect and see Jesus in those memories. We can be present and we can dream. We can love God with this beautiful mind. And then he says, love the Lord your God with all of your strength. For me, when I hear the word strength, I think of grit. Love the Lord your God with all your grit. Love it with like when you have to flex that muscle. Love the Lord your God with even until you sweat. Love your Lord your God and do it on purpose. And we see this. We see this also in 1 John. First John, he says this, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. So we know God if we keep his commands. And whoever says, hey, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. There's that word complete. You want to experience satisfaction. You want to have a fulfilled life. You want to have love that is made complete. Do what I command. When Jesus says, you know you're my friends when you listen to me, when you actually do it. So there's these deep mystical truths that are in this world. They're here, friends. Like, God's truth is not like it's hidden and we have to like do all these crazy stuff. Then we get into the secret society and then we get the truth. No, they're right there in front of us. So I'm going to give you an analogy. And before I give you this analogy, I'm going to set the stage. This is not like a theological truth and how we go about finding the truth. Like somebody might say, Chris, this is not in the Bible. And I'd say, agreed, all right? But I'm trying to help us just think about truth. Because do it on purpose, we have to know what the truth is. To use our grit to obey, we have to know what we're obeying. So I imagine that these deep truths that we find in the Bible, and in the Bible it talks about these truths have always been there. And imagine that you're in this huge open field with tons of people in this big, big open field. And there's these pillars of truth. And these pillars go all the way down to like the foundations of the earth. These truths go to every single part of creation. Every single part. And you are going to spend your life, you're going to be going through this journey in this field, and you're going to come up against one of these truths. You're going to come up into one of these monuments, these pillars, and you're going to observe it, you're going to feel it, you're going to experience it. Because have you ever heard people say, well, your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth, right? And I actually believe that to a degree. I really do. Because what they're trying to say is like, how I experience truth, how I view truth is true to me. And how you view is true to you. And I'd say, yeah, it totally is. But really, like that journey is going to be like in that field trying to find that pillar, right? Because some of you might come to this truth about this good and beautiful God. It might be that your parents taught you this. And it's like they walked you and said, here is this truth, and we're going to obey it. We're going to apply it. Maybe you went through a crisis. Maybe you went through cancer. Maybe you lost a loved one. Maybe you went through financial ruin, and then all of a sudden you cried out for desperation, and there you experienced this truth. Maybe you were up late at night at a hotel, and you're sick and tired of making compromises, and you open up that drawer, and there's from those good old Gideons, it's that Bible, and you open it up, and you have this awakening, and you come to this truth. Maybe in college, a friend talked to you about it. Maybe you had like Paul, you just had this like deep spiritual experience with the divine as it revealed himself to him. See, how you come to that pillar, how you come to those truths is going to be different for Jaylisa than it is for me. How it's John comes to that truth and me come to that truth are going to be different. But here's the thing. This is the critical part, right? Your journey is true for you. The journey is true for me, but it's not my truth. It's not your truth. That truth has always been there. Truth is truth. That's God's truth. That is who God is. And when we say, oh, it's my truth, what we're saying is, no, I belong to him, and it's he who tells me what to do. It's him who tells me how to live my life. It's him that I orient and give my best to. That's step one. Like in our culture, like we love this idea of finding truth, of discovering truth, of thinking on truth. But you know what? That truth is irrelevant. It's irrelevant until you walk it out. It's step one to bump into that truth, but then it's what are you going to do next? It's the next step that matters. Because a lot of people love standing near that truth and just like, oh, that's really true, but never makes it into their feet. It never makes it on their calendar. Never makes it to their mouths. It never makes it to going over to their neighbor and helping them out. So you're going to spend the rest, let me tell you, you want to know what it's like to follow Jesus? Following Jesus is spending the rest of your life doing what he asks us to do. We call it doing the stuff. Is doing the stuff fun? Sometimes. Not always. I'm going to spend the rest of my life on this deep biblical truth that I'm always going to love the other. I don't get to decide. I'm always going to love the other. And there's going to be a lot of times I feel like I'm going to be killing it. I'm like doing great. I'm going to go this long journey of loving the other. And then all of a sudden I'm going to fall down because I don't want to give that person my best anymore. They don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. They cross me. They hurt me. They inconvenience me. They hold me back from trying to be this person. This doesn't really look good when I'm around them. And I have to go back to that truth. I'm going to have to come back to that truth and hit and say, all right, God, again, teach me. I want to grow. But if truth never makes sense, this is what he's saying. Love the Lord your God with all of your strength means that you're doing it. That you're doing it. You see, as Americans, like, we love the idea of thinking about stuff. Think about how much energy you put into thinking about something. How many times on Facebook have you been, like, or Twitter, someone puts like some political rant and you're like, oh, I got right where I want them. And you're about to type something and then you just think about it for like an hour and you're like, you're laughing at yourself. And you're like, I'm going to get them so good. I'm going to get them so good. Here we go. All right. And you put all this energy thinking about just talking to someone you don't even know. And it hooks your heart and your mind. You're calling your friends. I'm going to type this. And you take a screenshot. What do you think about this? You think they're going to cry if they see this? All right. Let them know how right I am. Like I do, I love politics. But politics can be, it has its purpose, but it can be this trap of just thinking. Like think about education. I think that most of us here would agree education matters. That we want, if you have kids here, niece or nephews, or your friends have kids, you'd probably say, I want the best education possible for them, regardless of where they live, regardless of the color of their skin or how much money they make. Everyone has equal access to a thriving, robust educational system. We'd say, yeah. And so what do? We find the perfect candidate to help do that, to bring reform. And I believe in this. I do believe in this. And we raise a bunch of money to make sure that person gets hired. And then we meet with them and say, all right, now, it's almost like we tell them, like, now you're going to fix it. And now I'm just going to wait and just watch you do it. And what do? When the school doesn't change, because that one person, their team of people can't make this change in all these schools all at the same time, we complain. And they go, oh, now we got to get this person. Now we have to get this person on the school board. Now we got to get this superintendent. Now we got to get that teacher out of there, right? Or more like, we have to get that coach out of there, right? And it's politics. You know what would make a difference? You know how you change the culture of a school? Friends, you love the Lord your God with all your strength. You show up at the school. And you make a commitment, instead of ripping down that teacher, ripping down that coach, ripping down that program, saying, well, my kid didn't get to do this, or my kids used to do this, now they can't, or why do their kids, what you do is you love on purpose. You make a commitment. I'm going to speak blessing over that teacher. I'm going to speak blessing over that school. And you show up at the one-act play. And even though you don't like one-act plays, you show up when they're selling cookies, and you're like, I'm buying them all, right? You learn teachers' names. You go set up a meeting with the superintendent. You invite your kids' friends over to come to your house before the big game. You make it just a positive experience. And you know what? You do it day after day. And your kids graduate, and you still show up. If you really believe in education, we put our energy in wanting someone else to do it. And that's the trap. We all want growth. We all want beautiful things. We just want someone else to do it. We want someone else to pay the price. What if? What if just... crazy to what if it's us that leads the change? Like this dream I have of life-giving conversations on every table in Carleton County, I want those conversations at schools at the lunch table. I want those in the hallways. I want those in the bleachers. I want our schools are just vibrant and ready, and there's opportunity for growth, for kids to experience beauty. We can do it, friends. But it's when we use our grit. It's when we do it on purpose. So here's how you can tell if you're in that 1 John chapter 2 verse. It says, if you love me, you'll do what I command. You'll have completeness when you follow my commands. It's when we do things on purpose, use our strength to do things on purpose, that you'll feel that completeness. Here's how you know where you're at in that is, and I talk about this often because I think it matters, is when you and God fight, who wins? When you bump up against this truth of loving the other, which next week we're talking about how do we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. This whole idea, what I talked about, giving the best of not just your money, but your time, energy, and resources. That's one of those deep biblical truths. When you give the best of yourself, that's a Jesus-looking person. When it comes to, hey, why don't you pick up that person for work? Hey, why don't you begin to tithe? Right? When it comes to, and you're like, oh, I don't know. When that's a fight between you and God, you and this biblical truth. If you win all the time, that's great. That's great. Go and get what you want, because there's plenty of, you can have as much of it as you want. There is unending amounts of everything you want. Just a personal experience is it never usually lands to where I want it to land. It's like God has these truths of saying, what if I know something you don't know, Chris? Slow down. Because think this is right. When it comes, we can figure this out like in different boxes. When it comes to like our health, you don't just lose weight by accident. You just go like, oh, I want to lose weight. Oh, look at that. Wow, right? It doesn't work like that. I don't want to go to the YMCA. Does anyone know Anna at the YMCA? She leads those classes. Anyone know Anna? All right? I don't want to go hang out with Anna. You know why? Because she just yells at me the whole time, right? And she's like, kick those legs. And that's all I got. That's as high as I got right there, guys, right? And she is older than me, and her legs are like touching the lights, right? And we're doing these, like running around, and the last time my partner, I think, was probably at least 25 years older than me, right? And she's like, we'll be partners. I'm like, awesome. And she's like doing push-ups with one hand, and then she's running. She's like, you can do it. She's so encouraging. I'm like, I'm going to die, all right? Right? I don't want to go get yelled at by these people, but I know it's going to be good for me. If I want to have a good, healthy life, if I want to be available when I'm older for my kids and for my community, it matters to me. I don't want to do it. There's a battle. Who wins? We can figure that out with finances. I want to pay off debt. Okay, maybe we should spend less than we make. Oh, brilliant idea, right? But when it comes to our spirituality, it's almost like a lot of us get the point of saying, I'm done. Let me just do what I want to do. I don't want to have those hard conversations. I'm just sick of giving like this. I'm sick of denying myself. So here's three lies, because this is one of the hardest parts about following Jesus, is doing what he commands. It is. And there's three common lies, and I love this. I giggled because I feel like I fall in every category of these. Here's three common lies that we bump into when it comes to like we're going to get in this battle with God and who's going to win. The first one, if I really do what he's asking me to do, first lie is this, is that it won't be fun. It won't be fun. I am a high extrovert. I love fun. If I'm going to do anything, I want it to be fun. It's one of our values here, right? It is. Fun is one thing I get to slide in there. I think spirituality should be fun. And so when God says, hey, I want you to deny yourself and not do these things, I'm going to ask that you give this up. Even though it feels good when you do it, I'm going to ask that you don't. You think, oh, it's not going to be fun. Following Jesus is going to be boring, right? I'm just going to have to sit at home in the basement and just cry myself to sleep and read the Bible, right? This is me. This is where I often live. You know what that does when I start thinking about that? It reveals that there's this idol. There's this idol that I worship, and it's called the idol of pleasure. That my existence is to have pleasure. And if it's not fun, then it's not worth it. And getting sick, like I told you, when I got sick, I'm like, I can't have fun. Going to bed at 8 p.m. sucks, right? It's not fun. Not being able to go to work and see our staff, not being able to go out and do these things with my kids, I have to stay home and just cough, right? That's not fun. And I battle with them. I'm like, this is stupid. And I feel like God just say, why do you think that everything has to be fun? Why can't there be this stretching and this growing, this deepening? So if you think like that and you're like, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't want to deny myself because what if it's not fun? There's an idol of pleasure in there. Second one is this. The lie is that they're all going to laugh at me. They're all going to laugh at you, right? Like that is this idea of if I actually do on purpose what God invites me to do. So when Billy at work all of a sudden starts making those racist comments that you've heard him say a lot, and you finally have to stand up and say, hey man, you got to stop that. That's not okay. You have this idea of like, oh, they're going to say, who are you? Some kind of weird Christian? All right, sorry, Mr. Jesus freak, right? Or this other person who's going to keep making these sexual advances towards the interns. And they're like, oh, they want it. It's okay. They understand it's just a joke. And you stand up and say, you don't get to talk like that. That is not who we are around here. You might think, oh, they're going to think I'm one of those. There might come a time where you will have to say, I am one of those. Who am I? I'm a lover of people. That's who I am. I happen to be a lover of people, and they matter. And this woman matters, and this person matters, and it matters enough that I'm going to say something. And when you like balk at it, you stop. There is this idol that they're all going to laugh at me. There's this idol that says other people's opinion matters than what God's inviting me to do. We call that codependency. I just want everyone to like me. I saw on Twitter, if they killed Jesus for doing absolutely nothing, what do you think we're going to get? Right? But if you want that completeness, you want that fulfillment, it's going to come through loving people on purpose. You might have to say something. The third lie, I love this one. There's a lot of you out here for this one. Is it already up there? Yeah, it is. I'll just screw it up anyways. Why start? Why follow these truths? I'm not going to hit home run. I'm just going to screw it up, right? This is called the idol of perfectionism. Why even start if I'm going to experience pain? Why even start if I can't win? Why even start if it's just all going to go down and I'm burn up in flames? And I can tell you right now, why? Because it's worth it. I'm going to write a book, and it's going to be called Move It Twice. Because the only way I learn every single time, I have to move it twice, right? It's like, hey, how do I cut this board? You should measure it first. Nah, I got it. Oh, it doesn't fit. Oh, okay, I'm going to cut it twice. You're going to screw it up, friends. But when we let that perfectionism, or we let that people-pleasing, or we let that I just have to experience pleasure all the times get in the way of walking out, doing it on purpose, using our grit and our strength to worship God, we're missing out. We're missing out. So this is where I end. This is where I end. Three tips. If you're here and you're like, I want to grow, I want to do love the Lord your God with all of your strength. I want to know what those truths are, and I want to obey him, and I want to do it on purpose. Here's three things you can do. First one is this. Write it down. Get it out of your head. Right? You have to know, what is it that you want to grow in? What's just one thing? Maybe some of you just think, well, like, okay, I just named 30 things, and I'm going to try doing all 30 at the same time. Go for it. Tell me how it goes, right? What's one thing? I bet if we had a whiteboard up here, you could. And I said, hey, just what's one thing you feel like is this truth that you've been kind of avoiding? What is one thing you feel like God is saying, hey, Chris, I want you to do, or I want you to stop, or I want you to start. I want you to activate. What's just one thing? And for some of you, you're going to go right to that shame part. I call it, you just go right to the should. Oh, I should be learning my neighbor's names. I should be opening my house for small group. I should be giving 90% of my salary to some nonprofit, right? You're going to go to these. When you go to the shoulds, that comes out of a place of lack. It comes out of a place of scarcity. Comes out of a place of just absolute shame. I would say, what's one thing that could add value to your life or could add value to the lives of people around you? Look it through the lens of grace, out of love, out of opportunity. What's one thing that if you did on purpose, that you used your strength on, would raise the level of like emotional health? That would add the value to like your neighborhood, that would help your kids, that would help your health, that would help your spirituality, just one. And then, now the second one, is you gotta write it down. Because a lot of us, we have these dreams like, this is the year, right? I'm gonna do it. And then you don't tell anyone because then you actually have to do it, right? In your head, in the middle of the night, you're like, no, this is it. This is the time, right? You turn into a song. This is the time to rise up, Chris, you can do it. And you wake up in the morning like, did I tell anyone that? Okay, good. Get it out of your head. Get it on paper. Put it in a journal. Make a t-shirt. Talk to a friend. Get a billboard. You do whatever it needs to do so you have one more thing to activate. Because I can tell you, when I share that with my friends, when I share that with my mentors and say, hey, here's what I feel like God's asking me to do as a man. Here's how I want to get healthier. And it comes out of my mouth. It feels so incredibly scary. It does. I won't lie. Getting vulnerable is risky, but it's worth it. It's worth it. So what's the one thing? Get it out on paper. Oh, this is great. And then just get used to saying, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Just get used to it, because when we are doing things on purpose and we're using our grit and our strength to worship God with our minds and what we love on purpose, right? You're going to feel over your head at times. And when you go to the, oh God, it means you're in great company, because then it's about what God is doing, not what you're just trying. Because even when I'm talking about, you might still hear, oh, Chris is asking me to use my grit, which means I must just try harder. We do not have a try harder gospel. We do not have a try harder God. We don't. What we do have is that God says, I will give you every single thing you need. Everything I have is yours, and I'll be with you forever. The way that we use our grit, the way that we worship God with our mind, the way we worship God with a heart and a soul is always an inside-out transformation. It's you going to God saying, I want to grow in loving the other, and I want to do it on purpose, but you have to put it inside of me, God. I want to love my wife, and I don't know how anymore. I want to love my boss, but man, is he a jerk. I want to love these people, but I am scared. I want to give. I don't know how. Oh God, oh God, oh God. And here's the trick. If we have a good and beautiful God, and he is who he says he is, he will give you what you need. He'll give you what you need. It's my dream, my vision for this community, for those of you who are listening on the podcast as well. My dream is that we can be the best absolute worshipers of God. We love with our heart, our soul, and our grit, and our strength, and our sweat, and our attitude, and our energy. And when we do that, and as we love people as we love ourselves, those dreams you have for that community, they begin to take form. So let's stand. Let's pray. Just thought about me kicking on stage and how bad of a kicker I am. Oh, man. So let's pray. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And first of all, I just thank you that you love so well. And as we talked about, like, discovering what those truths are, those biblical truths, and we go out and we try it and we just fall on our face. And we screw up and we get hurt, or maybe we even hurt other people. God, I thank you that you just don't leave us to dust. And that you don't just stand up there and say, well, if only you would have tried harder, Sodder. That you love. That you love. That everything you have is ours. And that you'll be with us always. Thank you for that. And as we think through, what is the one thing I want to grow in? What is that one truth that I want to stop pretending that it doesn't affect me, or I'm trying to avoid? What is the one? God, will you reveal that to us? And even now, I pray you'd give us a name or a picture or a way that we can share that dream, we can share that opportunity. And then will you deposit what we need from the inside out to begin to use our strength at doing those things, by using our best to do those things. God, use us. Use us to bring life to every table in Carlton County, to every table in St. Louis County, to every person in Aiken and Pine County. Use us, Lord. Amen. So I'm going to invite our ministry team to come on up. And these are people who are for you. And here's just a very simple invitation. Is that if you feel like there's one thing, there is one truth, there's one thing I want to start, or one thing I want to stop, or there's this dream I have, and you just don't know what to do next, it just sits on you. Maybe you have a dream for your marriage, maybe you have a dream for your family, maybe you have a dream for your health, or for your business, for your neighborhood, whatever it might be, and you're just like, I want that, I just don't know what's next. Well, like, the people up here are not going to tell you, they're not experts, I'm sorry, they're not going to say, here's what you do, right? What they're going to do is they're going to say, yeah, let's, oh God, together. Let's pray together. If there's anything else in your life you'd like prayer for, come. If you're sick and you want someone to pray for you, we'd love to pray for you. Thank you for coming to Cloquet Vineyard, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.